The Los Angeles Rams getting a few more players back ahead of their Tuesday night football game against the Seattle Seahawks. Maybe a few more players not listed on that COVID list, as well as a few more of their Rams making the Pro Bowl already. We're going to discuss it all on this episode of the Locked On Rams podcast.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what's going on? As always, it is your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenjas. I'm a fantasy analyst at PFF and your host here at the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams and part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you guys so much for always making us your first daily listen here at Locked On Rams. And this is our final pregame episode. This is the most amount of pregame episodes I think we've probably ever had for the Rams in a given game, considering the game was supposed to be on Sunday. It gets pushed back to Tuesday night, as we know. Very weird kind of schedule here for the Rams, but really they needed this. The NFL had no other choice. When you look at the Rams, I think at one point they had 26 players listed on their COVID list, and we're going to discuss some of the changes here, more transactional news, more guys coming off the list, more guys available to the Rams here for this game, and then we'll also discuss who might not be available for this one. And to finish it all off, two players on the roster have already been cemented, I guess, or have made the Pro Bowl. I'm not really sure how they've already designated that, but they have, and we'll discuss who. I'm sure you can guess. And then to top it all off, we will finally get our final pregame touches in for the Rams. I'll list one player on offense, one player on defense to watch in this contest. So we can begin first with the transactional news. And as it begins, the Rams have activated wide receiver Landon Akers from the practice squad. Probably not the game-breaking news you were hoping for, but that's one bit of the news here. Offensive lineman Tremaine Ancrum and cornerback Robert Rochelle also activated off the reserve / COVID-19 list. But as we know, Robert Rochelle is on IR with a chest injury. And then they also activated offensive lineman Bobby Evans and inside linebacker Troy Reader off the reserve COVID-19 list as well. And according to Jordan Rodrigue, she counted, not me, she said, I believe 19 players remain on the reserve COVID-19 list, four of which are starters, or 18 players, 18, 19, four of which are starters, Jordan Fuller, Rob Havenstein, Tyler Higbee, and Von Miller. So we can discuss all of this right now. I mean, as it stands, four starters out, it's not ideal, especially when you look at some of the quality of those players. You're looking at a starting safety in Jordan Fuller, who not only, you know, is a budding stud in this league, but a guy that does call the plays for the Rams on the defensive side of the ball as well. So they're going to need someone else to kind of take over that duty in this game. Might be Ernest Jones, might be somebody else. Another defender that the Rams have really had an impact from here, Von Miller, the edge rusher. This is a guy that, no, the sack numbers are not there right now. No, some of the, you know, splashy plays and highlight reel type plays are not there right now, but just a dominant edge rusher, at least especially in terms of the running game. And then he's shown up here or there in pressures as well. That's a guy you definitely want out there against the Seahawks and a running quarterback like Russell Wilson. But if the Rams can't have him out there, at least they've got guys like Justin Hollins back now, who obviously missed a lot of this season with a chest injury as well, a pec injury. But they were pretty solid before Von Miller joined that group as well. You know, you're talking about guys like Obo Okoronkwo, who's really done a good job this season in limited time. Terrell Lewis, who wasn't active last week, probably going to find his way back onto the field this week if Von Miller can't go. So not the best news, but not the worst news either. We even seen a guy like Terrell Burgess come into the game last week. And, you know, if Jordan Fuller can't get out there, probably Nick Scott, the next guy up. He's played a lot this season, but at least Terrell Burgess is valuable depth in that regard. And both guys have had time on the field too. So not the worst, not the best either. You flip to the offensive side of the ball. Rob Havenstein, the right tackle. This is a guy you would love to have back, especially with Joe Noteboom, his backup, also on the COVID list. That puts you at your third string tackle. And shout out to somebody who mentioned it on YouTube. I can't recall your name now. They said Bobby Evans is probably the next up at right tackle in that third string spot. And you're probably right. I mean, before, when you mentioned that Evans was on the COVID list, but luckily the Rams did get him off this list. And mind you, there's still time to get some of these guys back. So maybe someone else will be joining the team. But as it stands right now, Bobby Evans, probably the starting right tackle as of recording, at least. And, you know, this guy has played left tackle in his career, going back to his time at Oklahoma in college, played a little bit of left guard, played a little bit of right guard for the Rams. I don't think he's ever played right tackle. Maybe in the preseason he definitely has, but in the regular season, I don't believe he has. So we'll see how that experience goes. We have no idea really what to expect there. And then the final player, Tyler Higbee here. You know, I would love to see him back out there for the Rams. He didn't play in the last game, of course. He missed that one alongside with Jalen Ramsey. Test positive, then test negative, and now test positive again. A very, very weird whirlwind for him. I'm not even really sure what to make of his situation right now. Hopefully he's okay and everyone else on this list is okay as well. But the Rams have shown that, you know, they can get over losing him. They did it last game against a superior opponent in the Arizona Cardinals compared to the Seahawks. And the Rams just don't use the tight end that much, especially in the passing game. He's always good for, you know, 30, 40 yards, maybe something like that. But really where I think Higbee's at his best is as a blocker. Really underrated as a blocker, does a good job in the running game. Last game we saw Kendall Blanton take over that tight end one role. Bryson Hopkins comes in as the tight end two. They got the job done. They weren't elite, of course not. They're not going to offer that same kind of upside, the same kind of, you know, reception ability or passing game ability, but they will get the job done. And, you know, as it stands right now, I think you feel good about having the majority of your players back. You have, you know, your stable of running backs. You have pretty much all your receivers back. You have everything you can ask for other than your right tackle and tight end on offense. You're in a decent spot, especially when you consider the Seahawks maybe not having a guy like Tyler Lockett in this game, some of their other players. You know, we're just kind of in this world right now where some people aren't going to have players. You look at pretty much every team in the NFL is missing somebody, you know, whether that's on offense or defense. And, you know, the Rams are not, you know, excluded from that deal right now. So unfortunately for them, still not going to have everyone back. It doesn't seem like as of right now, but the majority of their guys will be available. And that's really all you can ask for in this game. I mean, this is a pivotal game between the Rams and the Seahawks. Had they played this game on Sunday, you know, maybe we wouldn't have known, you know, if the Cardinals win that game or lose that game against Detroit. Of course, they did play in the early window, so we would have known. But in general, you know, we probably wouldn't have known the ramifications of this game. No pun intended, by the way. Now we know the Cardinals are sitting at 10-4 and the Rams are at 9-4. They're a game back. And if they win this game, you're suddenly looking at two teams that are knotted up at 10-4. Cardinals still hold a tiebreaker. But, you know, one's way more experienced, been to the Super Bowl in the last few years, done a lot of stuff in the NFL versus one who's really young and looks like they're crumbling right now. Who are you going to bet your money on to win the NFC West? That's when things really start to become a fun discussion here. So the Rams, this is a big game. And of course, for the Seahawks, you know, they lose this game and those guys may as well start booking their tickets to Cabo. But that's why they're going to be going all out in this one, too. I don't know that they're even mathematically really still alive. I think they are technically, but, you know, realistically, not really. But, you know, they're going to put everything they have on the field as well. This is legitimately the end of their season, potentially. So once they lose this one, they really have nothing to play for other than pride. And, you know, those guys don't want to be doing that at this point in December, but somebody's got to. So hopefully the Rams can take care of business there. In just a second here, we're going to dive into which players from the Rams roster already locked their places into this 2022 Pro Bowl, one of which is a first-time Pro Bowler. Very, very well-deserved, in my opinion. You guys can follow us on Twitter at QBsMEP, at Locked On Rams, and on YouTube at Locked On Rams. You listen to podcasts for the power of knowledge, maybe like this one. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money, because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone so you can listen to all the latest episodes, and the power of one of America's largest 5G networks so you can do it all at the speed of 5G. With all that money that you're going to save and all that knowledge that you'll gain, just how powerful will you become? Switch to Boost Mobile and find out. You can also get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save, Boost Mobile. A free phone is limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverage is not available everywhere for all of the phones and networks. See boostmobile.com for details. And as we know, Super Bowl 56 is closing in. In fact, it's actually less than 100 days away. And On Location, the official hospitality partner of the NFL, is the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. You can select exactly where you want to sit and choose from elite experiences featuring an exclusive pregame celebration with NFL legends, five-star LA hotels, and food by the great Wolfgang Puck. Visit onlocationexp.com/SB56 for more information, or search Super Bowl On Location. That's onlocationexp.com/SB56, or search Super Bowl On Location. Now, thank you guys so much for always making us your first daily listen here at Locked On Rams. We're going to pick up with where we left off, and that is the Pro Bowl news here for the Los Angeles Rams. One offensive player, one defensive player have already locked themselves into Pro Bowl spots. Don't know how this works exactly. I'm not really exactly a Pro Bowl connoisseur here. I actually think it's a very overrated award, but it's always good to see guys get rewarded for their hard work, especially one of these players here that I'm going to name in just a second. Offense, wide receiver, Cooper Kupp, first Pro Bowl in his career. And on defense, this guy's made one or two. Defensive tackle, Aaron Donald, and they're both super well-deserved. We're talking about two legitimate players right now. Cooper Kupp leading the NFL in everything you can imagine when it comes to receptions, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, receiving yards per game, all that good jazz. This is a guy that's about 15 to 20 yards off pace right now to beat Calvin Johnson's single season receiving record. And of course, you know, there's an extra game now, 17 compared to when Megatron did it back in the day. I want to say almost 10 years ago at this point, maybe 10 years ago. And he did it in 16 games, but nobody really cares. I mean, break a record, you're talking about a legendary type of season. And right now it's looking like he's going to have a shot to do it. Of course, it's going to have to, you know, continue that production there of like 125 yards per game, something like that. It's absurd. But at the same time, this guy has not yet been stopped. And I did see a statistic as well. I think if he reaches 90 plus receiving yards this week, something like that, nine receptions or 90 receiving yards or both of them, he's going to be the first player to do it in 10 straight games in a season in the Super Bowl era for the first time. That is absurd. I mean, statistically, Cooper Kupp is unguardable right now. He's not just the engine of this offense. Like, he's really the reason they're really able to do everything. He's so important from the short yardage stuff, converting third downs, middle of the field. He can flex to the backfield, outside the numbers. He's winning down the field, deep crossers. I mean, if there's an area on the field between white line to white line, there's a chance that Cooper Kupp has beaten somebody somewhere in between there. I mean, he's won on every level, on every area in direction on this field that's possible, and you have to give it up to him. I mean, this is a guy that's really taking his game to another level right now, and the connection obviously between he and Stafford, it's very visible. I mean, these two guys are very comfortable with each other, and I love to see it. I mean, you're starting to see some of these other guys feed off of that. Odell Beckham Jr., Van Jefferson, a little bit more, you know, big play kind of guys. Van Jefferson, he's not going to go catch 12 passes in a game like Cooper Kupp will, but he's had a lot of those 50, 60, 70-yard bomb touchdowns, which are always nice to sprinkle in on offense. And then Odell Beckham, really good in the red zone, really good at uncovering. He's got those elite-tier gifts. I think that's where he stands out on this receiver core, right? This is a guy that he just moves differently. Like, when you watch Cooper Kupp, you watch Van Jefferson, watch Robert Woods, those guys are great. When you watch Odell Beckham, you can tell this guy runs a 4-4 and he's a world-class athlete. That's the difference he has in his game compared to the other guys. And all of them have worked very well together. And that's part of the reason why Cooper Kupp has been able to make it to the Pro Bowl already. He's one of the top vote-getting NFC players, one of the top receivers. It's just all good. I mean, it's so cool to see him finally make it Pro Bowl. 100% well-deserved. One of the best receivers in the game right now and truly unstoppable. I don't know how you stop him. I really don't. If I try to devise a game plan for defense right now, my best guess would be, you know, bracket coverage and pray to God that he's not going to beat two guys, which he has done to some degree in this season. And how often can you, you know, dedicate two guys to cover one guy on offense? Not often. That's something you can only do every now and again, maybe on third down and, you know, money situations kind of thing. But great, great season. And then, of course, defensive tackle Aaron Donald. I mean, come on. This guy is special in every way. He's made like seven or eight Pro Bowls in his career. He's a six or seven first team all pro. He's done everything. He's already not just in the discussion for the best player in the NFL. I'm sorry. You're a fool if you watch Aaron Donald and you do not think this is the best player in football. He still is to this day. Forget about that. We're talking about not just one of the great players ever, maybe the best interior defensive player of all time. Yeah, he's not there yet. Maybe, you know, he's only 31. Still got maybe 5-6 years in his career, however, you know, long this guy wants to play. But that's the trajectory he is on. I mean, he's almost caught up to Warren Sapp in total sacks in his career. And Warren Sapp played like 13 years and Aaron Donald's on like eight or something right now. And he's going to potentially catch John Randall at some point, who I think has the most sacks for a defensive tackle ever. Mind you, John Randall played a little bit outside, a little bit inside. I think he's sitting around like 125, 130. And Aaron Donald is closing in on 100. He's pretty close. So can he get there? I mean, it's going to take, you know, two, three, maybe four seasons. So we'll see if he ultimately gets there. But that's the kind of path he's on right now, to be the all-time great defensive tackle, the all-time best, not just, you know, this is he the best player today? He is the best player today, and he's going to go down as arguably the greatest ever to do it as position. He's well deserving of this award as well. I mean, he could come into the season with 4 sacks, or he could come out with 17, and you know that he's disrupting offenses. He's a problem. That's really the easiest way to describe him. He's a problem for offenses. You know, you don't know how to guard him, and even when you have, you know, 2 or 3 guys guarding him, he still finds a way to make a play. And you think back to that Arizona Cardinals game, man, he took his game to another level, and the Rams needed that in the worst way possible. I mean, they were outmatched. They were missing players. They were missing Jalen Ramsey. They were going against Kyler Murray, one of the fastest quarterbacks in the NFL, one of the hardest guys to contain. And Aaron Donald put it on himself to really take advantage there and, you know, put it on himself to try and win that game. And right now, the Rams, if they lose that game, we might have had the longest week ever here. We're talking about the season's over. The NFC West is done. This is the 5 seed at best. And, you know, maybe they're not even going to do anything in the playoffs. Now, 1 week later, just because of what they were able to do, we're talking about, you know, going to this game, take care of Seattle. You're probably going to win the NFC West. You're probably going to host a playoff game. You're going to have a shot to maybe even be the second seed in the NFC if things really shake out your way. So crazy to talk about. I mean, you talk about one game swing like that. Insane what one game can really do here, but that's where the Rams are right now. And those two players are super deserving. There's a bunch more players on the roster that I'm sure will eventually get locked in here to Pro Bowl rosters. You know, left tackle Andrew Whitworth, I think, is very deserving. Quarterback Matthew Stafford, you know, Jalen Ramsey, of course. These guys have to make it, in my opinion. So we're going to find that out, I'm sure, in the next few weeks, maybe in a month or so. I'm not even exactly sure when they're going to release that, but we'll dive into it when they do. In just a second here, we're going to flip our attention to this game and talk about one player to watch on both sides of the ball for the Rams and the Seahawks. And make sure to tune back in tomorrow for our post-game recap of the Locked On Rams podcast. Fingers crossed, we have our first Victory Wednesday potentially ever here at Locked On Rams. I'm quite certain that that is probably the case. Hopefully the Rams can take care of business and put themselves in a position to go get this NFC West title. If you guys want to bet on some of that action, go check out betonline.ag. They have you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues its march towards the playoffs, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. So go head to their new updated desktop or mobile website design to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. You know I'm going to get in on some of that action. I got a parlay that I'm going to set up here when I take a look, and hopefully it hits. I could definitely use some extra Christmas money if the Rams do take care of business. From football to basketball to NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Make sure to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. And thank you guys so much for always making us your first daily listen here at Locked On Rams. For your second, go check out Locked On Bets. They can take care of you. They can help you choose exactly your lines, your parlays, all that good stuff, how you can make some extra money. Your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Now we can pick up with the final segment here. One player on offense, one player on defense. Who do we have circled here for the Los Angeles Rams to try and take advantage of this game and of a Seahawks team that has been very inconsistent? And as we know, the Rams have had a lot of success against this team, not just, you know, this year or last year, 2018, whatever. Even since Jeff Fisher was the head coach, the Rams were clearly outmatched, clearly out-talented, I guess you could say, and still found ways to be competitive, to win more often than not. I don't know what it is about the Rams having the Seahawks number, but I feel confident about this game. And we talked about the score prediction on Crossover Thursday last week with Corbin Smith, host of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. We both said we thought the Rams would win this game. So not changing there. I think the Rams will win this game. If I had to guess scoreline, you know, maybe something around 31-17, something like that. In terms of the players on offense, I want to say someone like Cooper Kupp, you know, because I think he's going to go off in this game. But somebody that I really, really am intrigued by here is Sony Michel. You know, this is a guy that I think the Rams would be wise to try and establish in this game early and often. You want to be able to move the ball on offense, stay ahead of the chains, and put yourself in manageable down and distances. That's when the Rams offense is at their best. We've seen it. Get Matthew Stafford under center. Let him run some of that boot action, some of that play action. And that's when the big plays start to strike, when you can get into second and four or second and five and not, you know, second and 13. Those are the bad situations that kill the Rams. And as soon as they can clean up some of those turnovers like they did in the last few games, all of a sudden the offense is right back on track and looks unstoppable. So as it stands, I think you got to keep running that ball, especially with this potential third string right tackle situation. You don't want to put a guy like Bobby Evans in a bad position to where, you know, maybe he's going to struggle. We don't really know what to expect. It's going to be hard for him to step up at that spot. And Matthew Stafford, when that pressure starts to come, not a very mobile guy. You know, this is not a guy that's going to start running around and creating all this kind of play and open space for himself. So keep that pocket upright, keep yourself in manageable down and distances. And I think it all really begins with your running back, Sony Michel. You're going to have to run this football. You know, if you can get him 20 touches in this game, 23 touches, something like that, I think you feel pretty good about where you're at as an offense. And of course, they will have, you know, areas to potentially give the ball to a guy like Daryl Henderson, who's now back on the team as well. Jake Funk, who was also activated for this game. Don't know, you know, what the percentages are for those guys. Are they 70%, 85%, 90%, 95%, 100%? And that should probably, you know, depend on how often they're going to be out there and how many touches they may get. But as a whole backfield, we'll say, let's get these guys 25 touches, you know, 20 rushing attempts, maybe five catches, something like that. I think you'd feel pretty decent about that. Maybe even 25 rushing attempts and three catches, something like that, where you want to keep Russell Wilson on the sidelines. And as an offense, you want to keep yourself ahead of the chains, keep your options open, keep your playbook open, and be able to target everyone. That's really when they're at their best. Moving on to the defensive side of the ball here. You know, I have to go with one player. I could pick a lot of players here. You know, there's a lot of good players for the Rams. Darius Williams, like Corbin was mentioning, loves going against Russell Wilson. We know that. Jalen Ramsey, of course, legendary. All these different guys. I'm going to go with Aaron Donald. Let's not be silly here. He owns the Seahawks more than any other team. I don't know what it is about the Seahawks that gets this guy irked, that gets them all angry and hyped up, but Aaron Donald suddenly becomes unblockable every time he plays this franchise. And I love it. I love it. I mean, it's so fun to watch. It's so entertaining. And he just finds a way to take over games when he goes against this franchise. And right now, you know, we've seen it in the first game, Rams Seahawks. I think he was the one actually that hurt Russell Wilson's finger. And that was unfortunate, right? Because probably would have been a closer game, would have been maybe a little bit more exciting. And, you know, ultimately that injury really did ruin the Seattle Seahawks' season. But he was the guy that kind of, I think it was like basically almost a high five, hits Russell Wilson's hand, breaks the finger, I guess we could say. It was kind of disgusting. Obviously, the Rams won that game because Russell's not out there and probably would have won even if Russell was out there. And that was unfortunate. But right now, you know, Aaron Donald finds a way to pressure this guy more than any other quarterback. He's always in his lap. He's always moving the pocket, forcing him to get out of that pocket, never letting him get comfortable. And he has sacked him so many times in his career. I mean, you talk about a quarterback that's taken a punishment from Aaron Donald. If that's anyone, Russell Wilson is the poster child for that. So part of me feels bad for him because somehow Aaron Donald is always just living in his backfield. But at the same time, the Rams need it. I mean, they need it right now, especially if Von Miller can't go in this game. I mentioned in the earlier segment, you know, they'll still have a lot of edge rushers out there, but nobody that's really established or, you know, that we know for sure has been just crazy productive game after game. Yeah, Leonard Floyd, very solid. Justin Hollins back, flashed a little bit here and there. Oboe, we talked about Terrell Lewis, but there's no Von Miller out there, and you need somebody to get back there consistently. And by the way, Leonard Floyd, too, has somehow found this weird serum where, I don't know, against the Seattle Seahawks, he suddenly becomes Reggie White. The Rams are, you know, Jerome Brown and Reggie White out there, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, when it comes to the Seattle Seahawks. It is so enjoyable to watch. I don't really understand it. It's so weird to see these guys just turn it up another notch against this team consistently. But there's nothing in football to me like when a defensive line completely ruins a game. I mean, it sucks when it happens to your team or to your quarterback, but when you see it happen to another team, they just look hopeless. I mean, nothing's going to work. You cannot run the football because you just can't move guys off the line of scrimmage or off the ball, as they say, and you can't throw anything. I mean, you can't let plays develop downfield. You can't throw the ball downfield because you're getting pressured, and half those times you're getting sacked. Half the time you're throwing the football away. There is no easier way to dominate a football game than when your defensive line is going to wreak havoc. We saw it last week with the Rams and the Cardinals. That defensive line came to life. Greg Gaines, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, Justin Hollins, all these guys, Oboe Okoronkwo, Von Miller, and they dominated the game. They played that game with fourth, fifth, even sixth string cornerbacks and still won against the most prolific passing offense in the NFL. And they still managed to win, right? Just because of that defensive line. I think when you go into this game, if the Seahawks don't have Tyler Lockett, you feel a lot better, of course. You have your corners back in this game, and you only really have to worry a ton about DK Metcalf. But, man, if you want to dominate this game, it starts up front. And if you don't have Von Miller, it makes it a little bit tougher. But at the same time, the Rams dominated them last year without Von Miller. They did it, you know, earlier this season, and Von Miller wasn't around. So if there's one time that you need to step it up here and really take your team to the next level, buy yourself some breathing room, get knotted up 10-4, 10-4 in that NFC West race, it's this week. So I'm going to circle Aaron Donald. I'm ready to see it. Go make a case for Defensive Player of the Year. He always has a case, but right now it seems like he's not really in the race, right? It seems like they're talking about Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, these other guys, Micah Parsons, even the rookie from Dallas. But don't forget about 99. If he can really finish off this stretch here, these next three games, go get 5, 6, 7 sacks, something like that. Get yourself into 15, 16, 17 range for the season. Then people are really going to start to reconsider who the best player is in this league, who the best defensive player is, and who's deserving of that DPOY. Aaron Donald, three of them. He's tied for first in NFL history with J.J. Watt and Lawrence Taylor. Could this be his fourth year doing it? Maybe. Doesn't seem likely, but I wouldn't count this guy out, and it could all begin last week against Arizona, but really, again, this week against Seattle. It's going to do it for our final pregame episode here at Locked On Rams. Thank you guys so much for always making us your first daily listen here at Locked On Rams. Make sure to enjoy this game. Hopefully we can get 10-4, 10-4 Victory Wednesday episode for the next one. Just a reminder, you guys can come connect with us on Twitter at QBsMEP, at Locked On Rams, and on YouTube as well at Locked On Rams. Make sure to go turn that notification button on. Go get notified when we post every single day, 8 a.m. Eastern, new episodes every single day. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.